Good evening. It's the holiday season. I want to wish everyone out here a Merry Christmas. To the Jews, Happy Hanukkah. And to the Muslims, send me your names.
That's right. Christmas is right around the corner, which means any day now Donald Trump should be tweeting out an insult to Santa. He's fat and old, and he uses illegal laborers. Tweet. Hillary Clinton recently started following a bunch of new people and organizations on Instagram, including the home improvement channel HGTV. When asked why, Hillary was like, "Oh, I'm getting a new house soon."
Donald Trump made a major announcement today via Twitter after months of refusing to release his medical records, which is something most of the other candidates have already done. Trump tweeted, "As a presidential candidate, I have instructed my longtime doctor to issue within 2 weeks a full medical report. It will show perfection. Or my doctor will be fired."
In the historic K-Don Studios in fabulous Las Vegas, the On the Air light is lit and the John Brislin Show is live.
Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the Seven Seals.
To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257 KDWN.
And welcome, America, west of the Rockies, to the Pacific Ocean, north to Canada, and south to our friends in Old Mexico. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday night with me right here on the John Brislin Show on this fine December 12th, right around 9 o'clock in Las Vegas. I'm a little bit biased, but yes, my hometown. I'm lucky to look out the window and see the best city in the entire world. And I'm also lucky to look at through the window and see producer Denise Marmeyer right on the other side of the glass, the face on the other side of the glass, and the little Skinner box over there and doing experiments on her. And so far, so good. And speaking of things to look at that make me happy, you already probably know my views on Donald Trump and how he's the right idea, but just entirely the wrong person and so on and so forth. Well, I am looking at the Real Clear Politics average for the Iowa caucus, and it's actually showing Ted Cruz is up by 0.7%. So about 1%, Ted Cruz is winning, is leading Donald Trump. Now, an interesting thing on top of that is that between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, they pretty much hold 25% of the overall vote. And they have a pretty similar outlook on the world. So it's a pretty fair thing to say that, well, about 50% of the people agree with the idea of just change everything, of go in and light some fires and go Nero on Washington and policy across the country and just see what happens. Now, I had a conversation earlier today with an old friend of mine, an old sergeant from the Army from way back when, and we used to sit around, you know, you get the hurry up and wait policy in the Army, so there's time to sit around and talk and try to practice for later on when you do talk shows on the radio. Well, when we were practicing, he would bring up these great conversations like what we brought up today. He is a Trump supporter and told me how my opposition to Trump is, well, he used some choice words, but is a mistake. And because of this, and he's not a stupid guy, so he brought up some points that I had to stop and consider, and I'm still thinking about. But he was saying that there are politics as usual people on both sides of the aisle, both red jerseys and blue jerseys. And they are not going to challenge things like major corporations or anything that's a major donor or any large policy organization, the teachers union and AFL-CIO, that kind of thing. They're not going to challenge those established parts of the world, parts of our government, parts of our country. However, someone like Donald Trump will give us a trade-off. Now, I don't know if I agree with this, but his point was that in the trade-off, we get somebody who is possibly, in my opinion, sexist, in my opinion, racist, in my opinion, bigoted on several fronts. But he will challenge that status quo for real because he doesn't need the money. That money thing that pushes so many people doesn't push him. That's the theory. That's the theory. Even Jeb Bush has had to spend $30 million so far, and really, what do we know about him? Not much. He hasn't gotten much traction. Well, I would like to see a lot of changes in our government. The kind of changes that you could only have with a controlled burn. In Yellowstone and in most of the national parks, they do what you know is called the controlled burn. And although you don't want to see part of the park burning and on fire and gone, what grows afterward is a beautiful life force, a beautiful environment. So maybe part of what Trump would burn down would then later become a much more beautiful country. I don't know, but it was an interesting idea, and thank you, Sergeant Burns, out there in Montana, if you're listening. And some of the ideas, I will admit, that Trump comes up with are, well, somewhat imagined. We'll touch on later the idea of whether or not Muslims are actually the cause of all that is evil. And although it's something we talk about, is that a real problem or imagined problem? The gun control that he talks about, or the Second Amendment issues that he talks about, and what we all talk about, are they real or are they imagined? Do we just like guns and it's part of our culture and that's fine? Or is it that if we would do away with the guns, we would actually have homes and families and streets and communities that are safer? I don't know. These are the kind of things that we talk about. And I am very happy to say that I have a towering intellect with me tonight. Senator Bill Hernstadt was a Nevada senator from 77 to 84 and is here. And I thank you very much, sir, for being part of the John Breslin Show tonight.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
And why don't you, if you pull the mic a little bit closer to you, we'll be able to hear you better. Just right up to your mouth, and then there
Thanks,
you go.
John.
Now, we were talking before the show about the idea of the gun control and an event that you went to earlier today that you said that they did or didn't allow guns to be there.
No, it was Friday. I went to the Faraday presentation for the new plant out at Apex because I was very interested in that while I'm here this trip. And I went to the state office building, and there's at the entrance door, there's a little decal that says, firearms are not allowed in this building. So I went in there, and I figured, well, there's important people there. Where's the airport-type metal detector?
Right.
There wasn't one. And I wandered in, and the governor is there, the man that's representing this company that will invest $1 billion in North Las Vegas, he's there. The head of the economic development person was there. There was a couple of state senators, several assemblymen, the North Las Vegas city manager. All these officials were there, and I wandered in, and there was no one wandering around with guns. There was no metal detector. Everyone kind of sat down. I wandered in, sat down in the front row so I could hear and see better, and the meeting started, and it was a great thing, and I was just sort of awed because I had just come from a week in New York, and whenever you go into an office building, you have to show a picture ID, and then they take a picture of you, and you get a sticker, and right. You can't even enter the elevator unless you do that. And, you know, this is Nevada where most people, if they want, if they're not criminals, can get guns. And I was very pleased with that because I live in Singapore now, but I have an apartment here and I come here from time to time. And I see how it is on different parts of the world. And I also go to Australia quite frequently. I have a daughter that's a pediatrician there and another daughter that's in school down there. And I go through security and everything. And, you know, this is amazing that in this day and age, with all the terrible things that are happening, that people in Nevada are very sane and sensible, and that they can have a big, important discussion and have the governor of the state there, and there's no obvious security. Now, there must have been people there,
sure,
and they were looking for signs of crazy people. But there were. It was a nice presentation, and by the way, I think if they can pull it off, it will be great for Nevada.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I've been wondering for a long time what's going to happen in that area of the valley. That's fantastic. And do you think, in what you were saying before, that the it felt safe and it was safe, even though there were all of those dignitaries there? Do you think that it's part of the fact, or if it's caused by our type of culture where we are friendly to gun ownership, to, quote, guns in general, and because of that, there is less crime, that there is less of a threat than because of the fact, who knows who's packing, who we don't really know. It's more of a Western-style environment.
It's something like that, and people respect one another here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such a friendly state, and people, you know, it got that way because we are business and tourism destination, and people have learned to be nice to people, and there's courtesy here, and yet, you know, there are crazies out there, and that's the big issue. It isn't a Muslim or other thing. I mean, this is what people like Trump have inflamed. I'm half Jewish, but I am actually sympathetic to Muslims that are all tarred and feathered by the 1% crazy ones.
Right. Yeah, there are always, I've said many times that there are always crazy people. And to use the simplest thing and say, well, it's just because they're all Muslim. You know, that's, it reminds me that in the KKK, they were all Christian and they all did it in the name of God and burned the crosses on lawns and they didn't represent all of Christianity just because they were out there hurting people and doing the lynchings and what we all know from the history of our country. I don't think it's fair to blanket all Muslims with that idea. And you and I were talking earlier that let's try the reversal. It's always what I like is to reverse the policy and what Trump has said that he won't allow any Muslims in the country. What if you reverse that or just change it, fill in the blank with a different word and say all Jews? No Jews are allowed in the country because they're just too darn dangerous. Well, number one, it's clearly, I think most of us can agree that that's not something that's fair. It's not something that's accurate. You know, it's not something that makes any sense. There's no logic to it. Set aside the whole constitutionality problem, and it doesn't make any sense. And yet, as you said, those fears are being inflamed, and that's, you know, there are going to be those crazies out there, and we don't have to, you know, tailor what we do to that. We can live and understand how safe the community is, like that meeting that you went to. And you said that you live in Singapore, and when we come back from the break, what I'd like to talk about is what the differences are between Singapore, which is, you said, a place where guns are just pretty much non-existent. They are illegal, and that kind of thing isn't there. The gun ownership isn't there, and the gun crime isn't there. And compare that to where we are right now. And where is that? Well, we are in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, and this is the John Brislin Show, and we will be right back after this. Stay right where you are, you.
And I'm writing a blog, getting my nails done on Sunday, and my lashes redid. Don't run your fingers through my hair, honey. You might miss it.
John Brislin, making caffeine addiction look good. Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
When you're ready to take the edge off a hectic day, I suggest you start with a little music from Franz Black.
I guess there's lots of ways to look at things that don't seem right.
No Worries has just been released on iTunes and Amazon.
It's gonna be all right.
You can find Franz Black and his music on his website, franzblack.com. F-R-A-N-Z-Black.com.
It's gonna be all right.
How do you explain that there's no evidence, no video evidence for what Mr. Trump claims he saw on television?
Mr. Trump's memory is fantastic, and I've never come across a situation where Mr. Trump has said something that's not accurate.
There are... seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Jake Tapper can't even hold it.
Donald Trump made a major announcement today via Twitter after months of refusing to release his medical records, which is something most of the other candidates have already done. Trump tweeted, "As a presidential candidate, I have instructed my longtime doctor to issue within 2 weeks a full medical report. It will show perfection. Or my doctor will be fired."
The John Brislin Show, your favorite political talk.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Need money for your business fast? No good credit? No problem. No collateral needed. Contact USA Merchant Capital with high approval rate. You can qualify for up to $500,000. Need to be in business more than 6 months with $10,000 or more in monthly business revenue. Inquire online at www.usamerchantcapital.com or call 949-441-0895. Approvals are fast and get your cash in a few days, as soon as 72 hours. Quick and simple way when you need money fast for your business. Go to www.usamerchantcapital.com. That's www.usamerchantcapital.com. Or call 949-441-0895.
When you're ready to take the edge off a hectic day, I suggest you start with a little music from Franz Black.
I guess there's lots of ways to look at things that don't seem right.
No Worries has just been released on iTunes and Amazon.
It's gonna be all right.
You can find Franz Black and his music on his website, franzblack.com. F-R-A-N-Z-Black.com.
It's gonna be all right.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Tell me who's the lady, Johnny River lady. Tell me who's the lady, Johnny River lady. Who's that writing, Johnny River lady? Wrote the book of the seven seals.
And welcome back to the John Brislin Show, that bluesy version of John the Revelator by who is that by? Government Mule, which also, by the way, the blues that we went out to commercial with, that is a lady by the name of Mercedes Nicole. It's a new song, her new single. It's Read My Christmas List, which I normally don't play just people's music on my show because, you know, it's talk radio, not music radio. However, this song was so good, I agreed to do it. And if you want to pick it up, her name is Mercedes Nicole, and the song, it's Read My Christmas List. You can find it on Amazon, I'm sure. And it's another one of those great Christmas songs that's different than what we've heard over and over and over. So that's always fun. Now, my guest here in the studio tonight is Senator Bill Hernstedt, and we were talking about the issues that are being brought up in the presidential election and whether or not they are in fact real or just sort of you know, contrived in a way, or at least inflamed, just to get good ratings and to sell a lot of ad space for the media companies. And, you know, it's Las Vegas is a pretty safe city, and we've got a pretty strong gun culture overall. And, you know, yeah, but Senator Hernstedt lives in Singapore, you know, part of the year, and they have no guns whatsoever, as far as I understand, even the police.
Well, the police have guns while they're on duty.
Okay.
But at the end of their shift, they have to turn them in at the police station so they don't take them home and shoot if they're angry at their spouse or something, or commit suicide. So they make them check them in. And the soldiers that patrol the airport and things like that, at the end of their shift, they turn in their guns at the end of the day. And even soldiers that are on duty or at the armed forces camp, when they're doing stuff or their target practice or something, but at the end of the day, everyone is supposed to put their gun away. And my son, my 27-year-old son, who's in the army there, he was telling me that part of the training is when they go in the jungle or something, they tie their gun, like with a cord or something, to their body. So even if they fall asleep, if someone tries to steal their gun, you know, and kill them, they right. learn about that because right. that gets you into big trouble. Yeah. So that there aren't guns there. And in Australia, they had a big repurchase program after the Port Arthur massacre in 1996, where 38 people were killed by a crazy individual. And they actually had a buyback program and got rid of most people don't have guns anymore. And the only ones are like the ranchers and people like that. And they only have like a listed firearm, you know, to kill varmints that are killing their animals.
Right. Well, it's, you know, that's been a long-standing debate on whether or not the safety is from not having the guns around, or whether the safety is from having the weapons there for defensive purposes. And, you know, we can go, I mean, the country is going to go back and forth on that forever. I don't know if America could ever get to a point where we would go the way of Australia. It's too deep in our culture. I mean, for right or wrong, it just sort of is.
It won't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the fairest thing to say.
John, you said something earlier about, you know, comparing instead of keeping Muslims out, keeping Jews out.
Right.
It's a matter of history that when World War II started, a lot of Jews tried to escape from Germany. And if they could get out through Switzerland or Portugal or some of those places, and the U.S. wasn't taking them in. And a lot of Jews, even after the World War II, weren't allowed in any kind of great numbers into the U.S., and that's how they ended up down in Palestine, which eventually became Israel.
Right. Well, it seems to me that I'm more than a little bit shocked that we are pushing back so hard against the idea of people immigrating here for safety reasons, for to escape a battleground. Now, I can understand it's a sort of a second separate category of immigration when you look at somebody that are a group of people like Mexican immigrants that are job seekers. They are coming here for a better way of life. They are coming here because the work is better, the money is better, and the life is theoretically better. Now, that, I think, is in a different category than people who are just trying to get to a place where they can not be shot at, not have bombs as a constant reality and a fear that bombs will fall on their children. It bothers me, quite frankly, that there are so many Americans that are looking at the situation with immigrants that are fleeing a war zone and grouping them in as just, we don't want anybody. And I think I'm going to say that seems to me to be an un-American idea. Yes, history has shown us differently, but I think that we can open our arms in this case for these refugees, as we have done many times in the past. Like you said, sometimes we haven't, but I think that sometimes we have. Do you feel that there's a real, honest risk in having these refugees come to America, as many people, including Donald Trump, have said, or is it just a perceived risk, a phobia?
Well, there is a risk, and I think all of the candidates who have been arguing about this say, well, they'll let them in, but they have to go through a 2-year vetting prospect. Does that mean they sit in a field in the tent in the rain waiting 2 years? What happens to them? It's a sad situation. And, you know, bad things happen in all parts of the world. And the idea is not to overreact and do crazy things as far as the government goes. Because right. The government can make things worse. I mean, Herbert Hoover extended the Depression because he did various bad things. And, you know, right now our economy has been going quite well for several years, but it's beginning to teeter. And all we certainly don't need to have throw a new crisis on top of it to give an excuse to have, you know, the stock market's up 100, down 100. It's crazy.
Why don't we take a quick call and then we'll go to a break. Jack in San Diego, you are on with John and Senator Bill Hornstedt. Welcome.
All right. Well, I want to make a comment and I have a question for your guest. My comment is this, is that I think we should understand that people who want to come to the United States, for whatever reason, until they hit U.S. soil, they don't have any constitutional rights. So there's nothing unconstitutional about what Donald Trump proposed, and that we should also understand that the Second Amendment is the only place in the Constitution that says shall not be infringed. It's as close as you can come to an absolute right, and everybody that wants to change the Second Amendment, they should actually go through the very difficult amendment process and amend the Constitution, because the Second Amendment is just so clear that it shouldn't be infringed unless you want to amend the Constitution. But my question for your guest is this. You probably have heard that there's a movement to take everybody that's on the no-fly list and disallow them from buying a gun. And the problem I have with that notion is that the no-fly list is one of those things that happened after 9/11 that's totally unconstitutional. Because we don't know how, there's somewhere between 700,000 and a million American citizens on this list. We don't really know who puts you on the list, and we don't know how you get off the list, but there is no due process. You don't have the right to face your accuser.
All right, Jack, can I interrupt for 1 second? I've got to go to a hard break, and Denise is giving me the evil eye right now. Can you? I wrote down most of the facts of what you just said. Can you hang on through the break, and we'll hear what Senator Bill Hornstedt has to say about it?
Okay, sure. I'd love to.
Thank you, my friend. This is the John Breslin Show. My guest in studio tonight is Senator Bill Hornstedt, and we will be coming back and talking more about this and other topics right here on the John Breslin Show. Stay right where you are, you.
Struggling.
I feel sad.
Totally overwhelmed.
Who do I talk to?
If someone you know is struggling with depression or anxiety, don't assume someone else will reach out. Let them know you care by starting a conversation. You might just save a life.
Hi, I'm Congressman Crescent Hardy. Anxiety and depression can be successfully treated, but those suffering often don't ask for help. Encourage them to reach out.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The John Breslin Show, your favorite political talk.
Some good news for Los Angeles. Yes, forecasters say El Nino should bring much needed rain to California. Yeah. Meanwhile, Donald Trump said if elected president, he won't let El Nino into the country.
Ben Carson this week toured refugee camps in Jordan and said that most of the Syrians he met there don't want to come to the U.S. It's a decision they made after asking Carson, where are you from?
Thank you, Ben Carson, for giving a speech where you pronounce Hamas as hummus and afterwards saying that you're really falafel about it.
John Breslin, not always right, but never wrong.
John Breslin, To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
FirstDub.com provides musicians with a music store to embed across websites and license their instruments for media projects and for vocalists. That's FirstDub.com. You should check them out. They've got some good stuff. And also, when Scott Ballard started school, his teachers told him he would never amount to anything. However, Scott overcame the struggles of his youth, learning to live a life of gratitude, to follow his God-given ability, and to embrace his dyslexia as a gift rather than a disability. By sharing his own journey to confidence and fulfillment, Scott will show you how to start on a path toward achieving your dreams, creating your legacy, and living in your God-given ability. You can change the world, and you can start your journey today at confidencecoach.org. That's confidencecoach.org, C-O-N-F-I-D-E-N-C-E, coach.org, confidencecoach.org. Go check it out. Welcome back to the John Brislin Show. For some reason, whenever I hear the music, my voice just wants to match it. I don't know. It's the rhythm of the music that gets into our soul. And as I said, I always try to channel Johnny Fever. Johnny Fever, can you tell what show that was from? If you're as old as I am, you know who Johnny Fever is and what show he came from. But what show should we focus on? That would be, you like the transition there, Denise? The John Brislin Show. Yes, that's right. Where my guest tonight, right here in studio, I am very proud to say, is Senator Bill Hernstadt, Nevada State Senator from 77 to 84. And on the phone, Jack, thank you for being patient. Jack in San Diego was talking about, if I'm paraphrasing what you said correctly, you were saying that the no-fly list that places, well, you tell me.
All right. Well, the problem what I have with the no-fly list is that there's tens of thousands of Americans on that list that shouldn't be on the list, and you don't have the opportunity to face your accuser, and so therefore, I don't think it's a good idea that you use that list to make another list that's identical to the no-fly list and say all those people on the no-fly list now cannot buy a gun. You're taking away their Second Amendment rights when they've never had the opportunity to face their accuser and get off the list.
And Senator Bill?
I don't even know how you get on the list. Who's putting you on the list?
All right, let's see what Senator Bill Hernstadt has to say about that.
Usually the people that get on the list are either people that they are known security risks, and they sometimes are people that just got drunk on a plane and were disorderly and were thrown off a flight, or someone that might have tried to light up a cigarette in the lavatory, and now we're saying they can't have a gun because they lit up a cigarette in the lavatory. And that does seem to be unfair. But, people are frightened. And, unfortunately, when people are frightened, bad laws go into effect, bad rules go into effect. And you also had a comment about, the Bill of Rights don't apply to people when they're overseas. That's true. If they're not American citizens, if they're overseas, the Bill of Rights applies to, and the Constitution applies to everyone once they're in the United States. But if they're not in the United States, it doesn't apply to them.
Right. Well, I guess we're on the same page then.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's a right thing to do, though? I mean, if I was a lawyer, I probably wouldn't have to look too hard to find some way that's not exactly the most legal of all things to say, no blank can come in. No Irish need apply. No Jews can come in the country. No Muslims can come in the country. Do you think that it's the right thing to do?
Where there is a problem with Trump suggested is that your religion's not on your passport. It would have, in my opinion, there is at a time of war, if you go back to World War II, there is a precedent for barring people from certain countries from coming into your country. For example, in World War II, if you lived in Italy or Japan or Germany, there's no way you were coming to the United States. And we're at a time of war, and I think it would have been better for Trump to have identified those countries where ISIS operates, and there's five of them right now. And, you know, if you're coming from those five countries, right now, until we get a handle on things, there's going to be a temporary moratorium of any type of immigration or travel visas or anything. But, you know, to ban an entire religion, that's never been done. And I don't know how you identify who's a Muslim and who isn't a Muslim unless they want to volunteer that. Because, again, your religion is not on your passport.
So you don't think that it's a good idea in general, then? Are you saying in practical terms that it can't be done, but you would if you could?
That was a misguided idea that Trump has. You know, he speaks with no notes. He speaks off the cuff, and sometimes he steps in it, and I think this was one of those times.
Okay. Well, Jack, I sure appreciate the call. You be safe out there in San Diego.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
And the next caller is out of San Francisco, world citizen. You are on with John and my guest, Senator Bill Hernstad.
Hey, thank you, John and Senator Bill. I had a question for both of you guys.
Yes, sir.
Same question. Last week, 20,000 people, I believe it was from Germany, went to Canada. And they had a news story on it, one of the network news. I'm sitting there watching this thinking, well, wait a minute, 19 of those people that took out the Twin Towers and all that stuff came through Canada, right?
I don't remember the detail. Senator Bill, do you remember that?
I don't remember the detail either, but they got in, whether it was through Canada or whether they had some kind of a student visa. I think a couple of them had student visas so they could fly, learn how to fly private planes, and that's how they got in.
I think, world citizen, I think what you're talking about is the fact that, if I remember right, this was about 3 weeks ago, or might have been about a month ago now, that Canada approved 18,000 immigrants coming from Syria into Canada, and we approved roughly 15,000. Don't quote me on that, but in that general range. Now, that's what we approved, whether or not they're all here. To my knowledge, they are not, but that process is being worked right now. Does that make sense? That was along the lines of what you were talking about?
Do you think that there could possibly be four or five people in there that would be terrorists?
Well, see, the possibility is there, and much like, you know, forgive me for using this example, but the possibility of UFOs, because it's there, then we sometimes use that outside possibility as justification for a lot of stuff.
One last question.
Hold, can you hold that question? I'm got to take a quick break, but can you stay through it?
Okay.
Don't forget what you were going to say. This is the John Brislin Show, and we are listening to the dulcet tones of who? Yes, Frankie Boy, the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra, who, if I'm not mistaken, today would be his 100th birthday. Well, happy birthday, Frank Sinatra, wherever you are. And this is the John Brislin Show. My guest in studio tonight is Senator Bill Hernstad, Nevada State Senator from 77 to 84. And I am honored to have him and have him back right after this quick break. I'll make it fast. Stay right where you are, you.
I mean, she just doesn't see. She doesn't see me.
Avoids politics and religion. Embrace bad manners.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257 KDWN.
When you're ready to take the edge off a hectic day, I suggest you start with a little music from Franz Black.
Guess there's lots of ways to look at things that don't seem right.
No Worries has just been released on iTunes and Amazon.
It's gonna be all right.
You can find Friends Black and his music on his website, friendsblack.com. F-R-A-N-Z, black.com.
It's gonna be all right.
Things haven't been going too great for Jeb Bush, but he's not giving up. In fact, I read that his campaign has spent the most money on TV ads at $30 million. I don't want to say Jeb's run too many ads, but his new Secret Service code name is GEICO.
COP stands for Conference of Parties.
Some 200 nations from around the world represented in Paris.
The goal is to reach a binding agreement to help stop global warming.
Yes, the COP21. The conference is set to address climate change. And even now, there's still controversy over what's causing climate change. The most recent theory is that sea levels are rising due to the tears from everyone listening to the new Adele album.
According to new Quinnipiac University poll, Trump is in first place among Republicans with 27% of the vote. Marco Rubio is now in second place with 17%, and Ben Carson is fast asleep somewhere.
Political analysts say that the Republican leaders are paralyzed over what to do about Donald Trump. Yeah. Upon hearing that they were paralyzed, Donald Trump immediately started making fun of them.
That's right. Donald Trump said that he might skip the next Republican debate unless CNN pays him $5 million. CNN was like, fine, we'll just let Jeb Bush talk for 2 hours. And oh, my God, where do we send the check? All right, okay, hold on. Somebody get the money.
John Brislin, with a head that big, he's got to know something.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
When you're ready to take the edge off a hectic day, I suggest you start with a little music from Franz Black.
I guess there's lots of ways to look at things that don't seem right.
No Worries has just been released on iTunes and Amazon.
It's gonna be all right.
You can find Friends Black and his music on his website, friendsblack.com. FRANZBlack.com.
It's gonna be all right.
Need money for your business fast? No good credit? No problem. No collateral needed. Contact USA Merchant Capital with high approval rate. You can qualify for up to $500,000. Need to be in business more than 6 months with $10,000 or more in monthly business revenue. Inquire online at www.usamerchantcapital.com or call 949-441-0895. Approvals are fast and get your cash in a few days, as soon as 72 hours. Quick and simple way when you need money fast for your business. Go to www.usamerchantcapital.com. That's www.usamerchantcapital.com. Or call 949-441-0895.
To the John Brislin Show, and that intro right there is obviously Frank Sinatra. As you can tell, Frank Sinatra in his Iron Maiden days, and this is, I'm making no sense whatsoever, but sometimes it's good to feel crazy. this is the John Brislin Show. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday night with me and my guest here in studio, Senator Bill Hernstedt, and also World Citizen way out there in Bay Area, San Francisco. Are you still with me?
Yes, to be more precise, at World Headquarters there, John. Let me ask you guys one last question. If in your lifetimes, I imagine more so in the senator's case, he's seen a lot of rights in the United States go away, whether it was driving at 55 or, I don't know, myself, I can remember when drunk driving tickets were $50. So,
well, thank God they're more than that.
Well, yeah, but the thing I'm saying is a lot of our rights have gone bye-bye. I mean, how much more is we're going to have to lose our rights before we start changing the laws?
Well, I helped get the second drunk driving statute through the Nevada legislature after California.
Well, no, I just used that as an example. Well, I'm referring to the terrorist.
Well, hey, we have to be... Look, we're all frightened about terrorists, and Trump has stirred up the controversy, and I'm grateful for that. But let's keep our eye on the ball. The ball is having jobs for ordinary people. The little people, the ordinary people, have to survive, and they need jobs. and they need proper economic conditions that foster jobs.
Right.
They don't need a heavy-handed government with gobs of regulation and stuff. The Singapore tax return is four pages long when my tax return is a half inch thick. It's ridiculous. But that's the way it is. And where, you know, you have to follow the law wherever you are. I follow U.S. law for U.S. matters. And when I'm in Singapore, I follow Singapore law for their matters. And when I'm in Australia, I follow Australian laws. And there's so many countries where I wouldn't want to live or be, because still the U.S. is the best place on earth.
Even with the rights that we've given up that you were talking about. And in fact, you have to keep in mind that a lot of the rights that we've given up, like what you mentioned there, the 55 mile an hour speed limit and, you know, the drunk driving laws, those are being given up for public safety. I mean, I give up the right to drive on both sides of the road, but I also avoid head-on collisions. So I'm okay with giving up certain laws.
Well, as far as the illegals go, even, I mean, if you're an illegal here in California, you can go get a driver's license.
Say that again. I distracted myself.
If you're an illegal here, we issue driver's license to everybody. If you can make it to the DMV, you got a driver's license.
I'm not an expert on driver's licenses, but to my knowledge, we don't do that, at least in Nevada.
Not in Nevada, but they do in California.
In California, yes.
Yeah, we passed the law. Everybody voted for it. They want everybody
Brown.
Driving to be insured. All right. Well, thank you, guys. See you next week.
All right. I sure take appreciate care. It. Be safe out there in San Francisco. Now, there are a couple things I want to mention. Actually, just to go back on what Jack from San Diego said, he was making the statement that in Donald Trump's comment where he would limit all Muslims from coming into the country, well, you don't have somebody's religion there on the passport. And okay, that's fair enough. But if we look back in history, not all that far really, but to go back to World War II, the Jews did have their religion printed on their passport. It was something that was done. And I think we need to keep in mind that when you have someone like Trump presenting an idea in a very serious way, that this is something that he would do if he were president and he is the front runner for the Republican Party nomination, well, it's not that hard to stamp a J or an M on somebody's passport. And yes, that is a gigantic violation of our constitutional rights, and it should be of our morality. But it has happened in the past before. Now, to be clear, these were German passports that this happened to. And I'm not saying that it has happened here, but in the world, and we are a very connected world, it is a very real possibility. And if we're that scared, it's not a huge bridge to cross to say, well, let's just put M on there to make sure that we know they're Muslim, just to play it safe. I don't know. We need to be very careful what Trump is saying. We need to be very careful what we accept out of Trump's mouth. And overall, the ideas that he has can be very dangerous. Now, you know my opinion on Trump. I'm not a big fan of his, but it certainly speaks to a huge groundswell of anti-government ideas on both parties. Now, do you think he's actually something that's valuable to the process? Is he a flamethrower and that's it? Or is he a flamethrower that's actually getting some traction, some sort of hybrid of things we've seen in the past? Is he valuable?
He's stirring them up. And there's some people who think he's actually going to win. And we'll see. I mean, it's a long time between now and the first week of November of next year, of 16. So, you know, he may step in it too badly along the way and, you know, mess himself up.
Now, one thing that he reminds me of is the fact that Hillary Clinton and the whole Democratic machine, the Clinton machine, has not in any way launched their missiles at him yet. He has come under almost no attack whatsoever. A little bit here and there, but nothing substantial. And when the time comes for him to get the nomination, I think the person that Hillary wants to run against more than anybody is Trump. In the same way that Harry Reid wanted very badly to run against Sharon Engel, and he got his wish.
Yeah, that happens. And, you know, it's open to the public to decide what they want to do. All I can tell your audience is wherever you are, register to vote. Otherwise, your opinion means nothing. all American citizens should register to vote. It's not a law. In Singapore, you have to vote or you'll be fined. In Australia, you have to vote or you'll be fined. I mean, if you're out of the country or you're sick or something, you're not fined. Right. But you have mandatory voting requirements. In this country, 30% of the people or 40% of the people are registered to vote. At least the Donald will stir up enough to get more people registered.
Well, he's definitely stirring things up, isn't he? We've had those flamethrowers. I call it the flamethrower role, and I'm clearly not the only person that says that, to stir things up that are typically not talked about. To go back to that friend that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that old Army buddy that talked to me today, he is also stirring things up that politicians won't talk about. In my friend's particular example, he was saying the Walmart as the stereotypical big business that's got so much money to throw around, governments can't control them. And if Walmart wanted something, what politician is going to go up against them? I don't know. Let's try to take one more call. This is Cassius, and always has a fantastic look on things. And Cassius, you are on with John and my guest, Senator Bill Hernstad. Welcome.
Yes, thank you, John and the Honorable Senator. I have a quick question, and I'll take the response off the air.
Thanks, sir.
I was just starting high school, I think, when you ended your term in 84, first year of high school, and I wanted to ask you, that has changed quite a bit, Las Vegas in particular, but was the Senate, were the representatives, especially in your case, were you aware of the massive organized crime influence in the gaming industry in Las Vegas at that time? Thank you.
Okay, and the Senator Hernstad.
Well, the organized crime figures were in the 60s and 70s. By the 80s, that was a lot less. And, the Kennedy era was gone. And you had, once other states legalized gaming, you didn't have that much of a figure.
I need 2 hours more than I need air. But I wish I have it. I don't. But Senator Bill Hernstad, thank you so much, sir, for being on the John Brislin Show. It has been an honor.
Thanks for inviting me.
And everyone, say it with me if you already know it. America is advanced citizenship. You have got to want it bad because it is going to put up a fight, and I will be here fighting for it with you. And producer Denise Marmeyer, the face on the other side of the glass, the crew chief to my NASCAR, every week on the John Brislin Show. Good night, America, wherever you are.
The book of seven seals.